Good morning, Matthew. I'm Cal Cornbread Halverson with your MI Farm Brief for Tuesday, July 28, 2026. Here is your weather for Dodge County, MN. Today, a high near 85 degrees, patchy smoke then mostly sunny. Tonight, a low near 66 degrees, mostly cloudy. Now for Cal's market read. Overnight, corn added about 2 cents, and beans slipped about 5 cents. Recent trend, over the last 5 sessions, corn has eased and beans have eased. That is the backdrop your cash bid is moving against. Here is our read on why. Cutting the other way, demand still reads firm per morning ag clips. Op-ed, soybean customers' needs should also be Indiana farmers' concerns. Honest truth, the take does not hand us one clean reason today, so take this as our best read, not gospel. Stocks are steady going into the open, S&P futures close to flat. A calm Wall Street is what your banker likes to see. It keeps the rate and input cost backdrop behind your operating note quiet for another day. Now, here is what moved across the wires from my news desk. Story 1. Duke Wine State Fair moving to online livestock exhibitor registration. This new system, and the premium books, are now available on the Duke Wine State Fair website. The competitive events office is open Monday, Friday 8 a.m. These proposals were sent to Governor Agricultural Proficiency Awards Honor FFA members who, through supervised agricultural experiences, CES, have developed specialized skills that they can apply toward their future careers. Story 2. Op-ed. Soybean customers' needs should also be Indiana farmers' concerns. This is not only about making sure that farmers have a favorable business and regulatory environment for our farm. Indiana row crop farmers have long complained about the unfair burden of property taxes. Ag leaders representing the state's soybean, corn, poultry, pork, beef and dairy industries all shared Indiana's competitive advantage, and the delegation from Thailand was impressed. As part of the Taiwan Agricultural Trade Goodwill Mission, the letter of intent between the Indiana Corn Marketing. Story 3. Tragedy inspires suicide prevention work. He's survived by his sister, McKenna Reichling, far left, his brother, Ryan Reichling, second from right, and sister, Whitney Reichling Rond. Lynn Grooms, Grooms Communications, is a freelance journalist specializing in agriculture. Participating providers must be licensed, registered with the program and comfortable with offering counseling to farmers or have a good understanding of agriculture and its challenges. He lives on a farm near Sugar Bush in Luxembourg. Story 4. Facts matter. Deputy Secretary Vaden fires back at critics opposed to USDA reorganization. At the epicenter of this historic shift is Indianapolis, which has been officially selected as one of 5 elite USDA regional hub sites. Recently, we have seen negative chatter from former employees about the USDA reorganization, Vaden posted. Under the sweeping plan, the USDA is systematically dismantling its overbloated National Capital Region, NCR, footprint where staff occupancy in massive complexes like the South Building has cratered while maintenance backlog soared past $1.3 billion. As the multi-month implementation process rolls forward, the message from the top is unmistakable. The era of D.C.-centric bureaucracy is over, and the heartland is officially back in the driver's seat. Story 5. National FFA promotes ag education as key to future workforce. During a panel discussion in Washington, D.C., FFA members and industry leaders emphasized the vital role agricultural education and career and technical education play in preparing tomorrow's workforce. Among those on the panel was 2025 to 2026 Indiana State FFA President, Caitlin Maris-Zuski. She added, I think that the biggest message that I hope that they took away from the panel discussion is that agricultural education is important and it truly changes lives. Our industry is so vital to the world, and I believe that if we can get those lawmakers and policymakers to understand how FFA is trying to fuel that next generation of agriculturalists, I think that it will be really eye-opening for them to see truly what our organization is doing and how it's shaping the future. As demand continues to grow for skilled professionals in agriculture, Maris-Zuski says investing in agricultural education today is essential for the success of the industry tomorrow. Story 6. FarmFest forms feature governor, Senate, House candidates. This year could be the biggest year yet for candidate forums at Minnesota FarmFest, featuring 4 candidate forums during the event on August 4th, 5th and 6th at the Jill Fillon Estate near Redwood Falls, Minnesota. Kent T.S. speaks with an audience member during an educational session at last year's FarmFest. This year's schedule includes candidate forums. Story 7. Missouri corn. Soybean crop conditions improved despite late July trend. We normally do trend lower in the ratings from July into roughly the middle part of August. Suderman tells brownfield rains might have helped improve crops in the northern part of Missouri. North Carolina was the only other state that saw improvement in both corn and soybean conditions. You know, it is a beauty contest. Rice conditions are 82% good to excellent, with 46% of the crop headed. Story 8. Frequent rains boost Minnesota crops despite minor condition slip. USDA's latest weekly crop update shows 77% of corn and 78% of soybeans in good to excellent condition, still well above the respective national averages. Throughout June I was starting to get worried it was getting too dry, and then all of a sudden we just kept catching rains. Every 3 days I think we got an inch, and I was starting to worry we were getting too much rain actually then for a while. If you look at a drought map you can kind of draw a line from Owatonna up to Morris, Minnesota at a 45 degree angle across the state, and I'm kind of sitting right in that line that's not in a drought category right now. Crop development is running ahead of normal with 24% of corn at the dough stage and 61% of soybeans setting pods. Story 9. Lindsay Clancy's ex-husband details big spiral as expert says one part scared me in mom's murder trial. If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK, 8255. He's got to get through this, she said. The prosecution did that because she Buckingham wants the jury to remember that the act of strangulation takes time and physical effort, McLean said. Story tips can be sent to sarah.rumpf@fox.com and on X at srumpfwitten. Story 10. Biden ghostwriter tapes released after former president forfeits legal battle. The nearly 70 hours of recordings, released Monday evening by the Oversight Project, a conservative watchdog group, were cited in former special counsel Robert Hur's 2024 report on Biden's handling of classified documents. Something else, Biden said. I did not share classified information, Biden told reporters. Read the full transcript below. And now, a stop at the coffee shop. Here is today's joke. Ag Day at the courthouse brought 12 kindergartners. One asked, where does milk come from? The farmer said, the cow. Another asked, where does the cow come from? The farmer said, the farm. The third asked, where does the farm come from? The farmer said, that's a longer answer. Come back in 20 years. Here is Cal's quiz. How many county-level extension agents were placed in the country by 1920 under the Smith-Lever Act? A. About 300. B. About 1,500. C. About 3,000. D. About 7,500. And the answer, about 3,000. Nearly one in every U.S. agricultural county within 6 years of the 1914 signing. The Extension Service is still the single largest applied research network in American farming. Source: USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture Historical Record. That is your brief. Have a safe day in the fields. And thanks for letting MI Farm AI ride along this morning.